9:51 on Ross and Burbank. One of the things we've been learning from shootings like the Cafe Racer incident and many others is that when someone who is mentally ill goes off the deep end with a firearm in his hand, there have usually been warning signs. And in the case of Ian Stawicki, the Cafe Racer shooter, his dad Walt had seen these warning signs but could not get him committed because there are certain standards for that. And now a state lawmaker is trying to get those changed.
Yeah, Tammy Green is a nurse who works in mental health. She's a Democrat from Lakewood and is sponsoring this new bill that would basically strengthen some of the abilities of folks to involuntarily commit people. She's online with us now. Tammy, thanks for coming on.
Hi.
Hey, what are the current rules? Because, I mean, I think a lot of us here at this radio station, we were pretty surprised when we heard Ian Stawicki's father talking about his experience with his son and his knowledge that his son was not doing well, but the inability to involuntarily commit him. What are the current rules?
The current rules require that someone has to be dangerous to themselves or others or gravely disabled, which basically means they can't take care of themselves, you know, at the time of the interview. And they're not allowed to take into account any previous history or any family input. And as we go to change this law, this would allow for those things to happen. So the decision maker can essentially say, well, I see this person, you know, they're, you know, maybe having a little trouble right now, but they don't seem dangerous. But they can take into account any violent history. And the family is saying, well, this is a pattern. You know, they've stopped taking their medicine, and this is what happened last time, and we see this happening again. So it really just expands the ability of the decision maker to take into account those extra things that we haven't been able to do.
So it sounds like
oftentimes family will say, just like what you were talking about before, they'll say, we tried to get them help, and we were told they didn't fit the criteria for our current law, right? So
right.
This will help expand that.
So it sounds like you're basically inserting the word potentially in front of the word dangerous. And I think that's what freaks out some lawyers, because they look at this and they say, it's a precog thing. It's a Minority Report thing. You're trying to predict the future. You're basically saying, we predict that this person, unless committed, is going to hurt somebody.
Well, the problem with that is that the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And so if we can look at history and we can look at, you know, well-meaning family and friends who can say, this is what's happened before, and we take that into account, hopefully we can intervene before, you know, we have the naked guy running down the street with a gun.
Yeah.
Frankly, it's a 72-hour hold. That's all it is, 72 hours. So you have just a little window of time to be able to evaluate a person to decide, you know, did we overstep, or does this person, you know, need more treatment? And I can tell you, as a nurse working in a mental facility, I see it happened many, many times where we can intervene, we get the person in for 72 hours, and then suddenly they kind of get it, and their family and friends say, we want you to get help, and then they say, okay, and then they'll voluntarily decide to stay. And that's really what we need to have happen here, is that we can intervene quickly, catch folks before they deteriorate too badly. You know, on the money side of this argument, we're saving thousands and thousands of taxpayer dollars when we catch folks early. On the human pain and suffering side, you know, we're able to help folks to recover quickly and return to a normal life.
We're talking to Tammy Green, a state rep from Lakewood. Well, the way you lay it out, Tammy, it sounds like a sort of a no-brainer. Are you getting pushback on this, or do you think this is going to pass?
I think it'll pass. You know, we've been working on this for several years. I started talking about it in 2009, about, you know, being a person that takes care of folks in this system, just being sort of frustrated. It is a balancing act between public safety and, you know, clinical treatment, appropriate clinical treatment. And, you know, certainly civil liberties are always at the forefront. And I'm a huge proponent of making sure that we're not demonizing the mentally ill or, you know, stigmatizing the mentally ill. I live for a day when we can talk about our mental health like we talk about our blood pressure, right? So I do think the time, you know, has come along with some of these violent acts that we've seen, including the shootings and such, that perhaps I'm catching people's attention, that just to make this slight change will help us catch the right folks before tragedies occur.
And have other states tried this, or will we be the first?
You know, We have very different rules than other states. Some states are very broad in who they detain against their will. I say we're in the right place with that balance between public safety and civil liberties. Some states allow a family member to commit people, or any doctor to do it, or any judge to do it, and we have a specific process where a mental health professional who is sort of objective, we hope, to make that decision. So I really love our system. I don't want to mess it up, but I think just adding this little extra piece will actually help these mental health professionals be able to make a better judgment.
All right. Well, listen, Tammy, you would know working in the business, so thanks for doing this and thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Tammy Green from Lakewood, trying to prevent the Cafe Racer shooting type incidents from happening again. All right, coming up in a moment on the Luke Burbank Show.